Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi, The Next Generation, every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
And I am your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping a two-part episode, season 6, episodes 9 and 10, titled, What's It Feel Like to Be a Ghost? But before we get into that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
I want to know why I was so into this whole episode and I only have 3 trivia questions.
I was actually scared that there were going to be more because I also was into this episode, but I'm like, watch me miss every single of the 6 that she's going to give me.
I think part of the problem is that I didn't get a chance to watch it at work today because, once again, even though it's November, I'm still doing my job that they pay me for. But if I had watched it today, I probably would have added more questions. But oh well. First question, who does Ellie get to interview for the core?
Taking Back Sunday.
Yes. Where is Joey moving?
Oh my God. This is kind of cheating because it's in my tidbits, but it's Calgary.
Good job. And where did Craig start using cocaine?
Oh. Is it Amsterdam? Vancouver?
Vancouver. I'll take it. Okay. All right, 100%. Look at you. Also, trigger warning, there's drug use in this episode. Probably should have said that before the trivia. My bad.
I thought about that as I was like writing the intro as normal. I was like, do we need a trigger warning today? But it's just so Degrassi that it doesn't feel like you need one, but I get why you do.
Right. So, you know, if seeing and hearing people talk about drug use is triggering to you, tune into the next episode, I guess. They probably don't mention Craig's cocaine problem again.
Ever again, probably.
So, there is that.
Cool. Well, on that note, one of my tidbits is the fact that this is allegedly the first drug addiction in the TNG series. So, we give a lot of things to Craig here, I'm realizing. We got his dad's backstory, we got his BP, we got his, what else, the fact that he got to leave Degrassi and actually become a successful singer. So
braids are so cute, girl, just in case you didn't realize it.
Thank you. My head Amazing. My sister literally sent me the spray that I'm supposed to use, and it's out of stock on Amazon, and my shit is starting to itch.
Oh my god. It's bothering that's me. The worst part about braids is when, like, like, it kills me. And then, like, I want to say it probably itches until I end up finally, like, eventually, like, spraying water on it. Maybe spray water.
That's what I was thinking. Because I feel like what they use to, like, you know, do the parts and, like, gel it down. I'm like, I feel like it's been in my head for a couple days now. And my hair is like, wait, bitch, you're not washing me? Like,
right. But then I was wondering, because with your hair texture, I don't know how it'll respond with water. And it'll be like, bitch, frizz.
And I'm trying to just preserve them to the weekend at least. Like, that's what they're for. But I'm like, my head is scratchy, scratchy.
It's so hard.
You can't win.
Yes, I feel like it usually feels better once I get it wet in the event that I do. So maybe that'll help in the interim.
Yeah.
I always love a good spray bottle. Do you have the pattern spray bottle?
I don't. I literally almost purchased it the other day, though, like the mist one, right?
Yeah, I looked at it and I said, why is it $20? And I texted your sister to be like, why is this $20? And she was like, I have it. And I was like, okay, let me buy it too. And it's actually a really nice spray bottle.
Okay, good to know. But also, I just need to call her out. And if she's listening to this, which she probably isn't, I'm going to clip it and talk shit. Yes. But I remember when the pattern water bottle or spray bottle dropped. And I was like, oh, like, I realized that there's, like, this Mr. spray bottle, like, it's from Pattern. And then she was like, what? That's stupid. Just get a regular spray bottle.
Bitch. Because why did she and I have the same conversation? And she did not own up to saying that she felt the same way in the beginning. And I like it because it's so much it sprays so much more evenly, and it doesn't, like, soak your hair instantly. It just moisturizes it.
Yes. Because so now look at this. She's Damn. Fake. The fact that she said to you is funny because now I'm wondering if their spray bottle, just like the Mister, is better, because you can get a like $5 easy Mister on Amazon still. So now I'm wondering if they just have a better handle or. But neither here nor there. I remember telling her about it. And she was like, that's stupid. Just get a normal spray bottle or just get a cheaper one that doesn't say pattern. And then I remember I was at her house once and I went in her bathroom and she had it under the sink.
She's so fake.
She's so annoying.
I do want to add that we still don't have sponsors because we don't have enough listeners. So I know we did say a specific brand, but this is not an ad. And so Just get a cheaper one off Amazon without the, but the mister is nice.
Go the cheaper route, but yes, tangent, but nonetheless, it, yes, sponsor us.
All right, so I think we can get into the episode because this is kind of a long one.
Yes, ready? Let's get into the good stuff and not hair talk.
All right, so with the first episode, of course, we're going to do the first episode, B and A, and then the second episode, B and A. So I just want to know why I'm looking at Isabella at Degrassi right now. And I guess it's because the daycare is far from Degrassi and they sent Isabella home because she's sick. But Mia can't miss Miss Kwan's class. So JT is like, I'll watch Isabella. And Liberty watches from nearby.
Hey,
I know that Liberty doesn't make any sense because she's a teen that went through something traumatic. But like, is she mad because she wanted to keep the child and JT wanted her to put it up for adoption? Because JT supported her decision to keep the child. Like, this man even sold drugs.
Right. Which anyway, she brings up later on like a bad note as if he wasn't trying to help them.
I was wondering, do you think Liberty went to the dot on purpose to stir shit up though?
Yeah, Liberty, like, the little bit that we do get to see of her right now, she's stirring it up. Like, she's stirring the pot 100% because this isn't how she normally is. So I feel like this was on purpose for sure.
You right. Absolutely. She was the main one talking trash about Emma for being nosy.
Right. That's what I was going to say, too. I made that note. I've only seen her, like, really buck up on Emma. So, like, if you're not Emma, she's probably very cordial to you. But the way she was acting in this episode was very petty.
It was. So Mia's excited for her date at the dot when Liberty sits down to join her and talk shit. Again, I get her being upset and resentful, but I don't understand what she does next, which is her being a hating ass bitch. She just, like, she sees Isabella fucking up Mia's life, right? And she thinks, wow, that could have been me with hard eyes. She is envious of Mia having this baby that JT likes. And I know that teens don't make sense. So this, I mean, I think that makes sense in her brain, but it does not make sense.
Right.
It doesn't. But Liberty is like, oh, well, you know, JT's past. And she tells him that, you know, he sold those drugs. I don't know if this, which that's what she tells him in this moment, but she basically tells him everything. And Mia gets concerned and then she leaves, I think. The subtitles read laughs of disbelief, and I thought that was funny. Anyway, Mia storms out and Liberty looks super smug. I feel a lot of resentment, honestly, towards who Liberty is becoming right now. JT finds Mia at her house and he later tries to explain himself, but he's wrong for telling Mia that Liberty and her parents gave the baby away because, boy, you wanted that baby aborted.
Okay.
But don't put this all on her. You didn't want that fucking baby. And I'm not even mad at him for wanting her to get rid of the baby. I'm not. But, like, call a spade. I didn't want that baby. It looked really hard. And it is. Mia had to miss class because of her baby. You didn't want that for yourself. And it's smart.
Right.
Then he tries to blame Liberty for the fact that they needed more money to move out, which I don't understand why he didn't explain. Like, I don't understand why he didn't explain that he did do it and it was a mistake and he would vow to never do it again. Like, he could say, I did it. It was a terrible idea. Versus, right. I did it because Liberty, it was a very terrible apology. I guess it was like a teenage apology, essentially.
Yeah, probably because he couldn't tell it on his own terms, so.
Well, then there's that.
Yeah.
I would still fight Liberty, though.
100%. Because of all that. She didn't have to do all that.
She didn't. We get that you're hating. Write in your diary. Where's Miss Sauve?
Right. They never returned to her office after that one time where she was like. Not once.
She was like, you're pregnant. Okay. Anyway.
Does anyone know? No. Okay. That's normal. Not even a doctor. Right.
Like, girl is clearly struggling and she continues to struggle. Poor girl. Anyway. JT begs for Mia's forgiveness the next day. He ends up sucking up to Mia by proposing that JT. Degrassi should have a daycare available. Who else in the school has a child?
I had the same thought. Like, was it just Was it just us that realized no one else would need that daycare?
It's just her. Also, Isabella is sick, which means that she still wouldn't be able to go to daycare, even if she's at Degrassi. Daycares don't let your kids come sick. Why? So they can get everyone else sick?
Right. You know, wipe out the whole freaking daycare.
JT be playing in our face all day. So he stands up at the student council meeting to propose the daycare at Degrassi to Liberty. Which, to me, is every type of disrespectful. And, like, it just is. JT shuts JT, or Liberty shuts JT down before he can even finish his proposal. JT argues that the Degrassi community could benefit from this, and Liberty calls him out. You mean your girlfriend could benefit from this?
She not wrong.
I see no lies.
Right.
Liberty makes a valid point, which is that the daycare wouldn't open for another 2 years, and thus rendering it useless to Mia anyway, which is legitimately the entire reason behind this proposal. JT confronts Liberty further, which leads her to leave the room. And so, again, my question is, do you think Liberty's wrong for rejecting the proposal?
I think she absolutely has her own intentions or, like, issues behind it. So I think that's really fueling her pushing it down. But, again, there's no one else at Degrassi that would benefit from that. That's like, just a fact.
Right. Her intentions are wrong, but her justification is not.
It's not. And, like, maybe she didn't have to shut it down so quickly. Again, that was her clearly showing that she didn't want to hear it because it was about JT and Mia and the whole baby situation. But she's not wrong. Like, she made a lot of sense, but let him finish.
Right. All right, so I think JT's half wrong and half right because he asked Liberty how he was irresponsible to try to support her backing up her decision. And then he adds, backing you when you gave him up, even though he was my son too. And I'm just like, you wanted to give that baby up from the jump.
Never wanted it. She wasn't even going to tell you because she knew you didn't want it.
So he ends up telling Liberty that she doesn't like to see him happy. True. And I don't either. Liberty's hair looks lovely in this scene, though, so I guess she's got something going for her. And we get to see it at all angles as she storms away from JT. I don't think she was wrong, though, like you said.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, plot A. Why am I so ignorant? So I write crack, and then I strike through. Craig is back in town, and he's on crack. In case you were wondering, chemically, it's the same chemical composition as cocaine. So I'm going to call it crack. I understand one has a stigma, one does not. They're the same. Mm. They are the same. Did you? I'm sure you've seen the TikTok where it's like, a Birkin? This Birkin.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And it's like, they're the same. And somebody does that with crack and cocaine because they are the same chemical composition. Even though I guess Whitney Houston thinks one is whack.
I'm screaming literally that, what was it, Diane Sawyer interview?
Yes.
Icon.
I make too much money to ever smoke crack.
Icon.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this episode without hating Ellie. Like, I was just listening to all the sound clips I had, and every single one of them makes Ellie come out to sound like a dumbass. Craig plays a few songs, and there's Ellie ready to ride for her man who will never want her. Not even when he's on drugs. Like, that's how bad it has to be. He's on drugs, and he's still not interested in picking you.
You gotta let it go. Like, what could be a clearer sign?
Manny is off to the side, pouting, as she should be. Craig plays song after song after song. Apparently, this took the place of the time that she and Craig were going to spend time running through lines. He acts like he doesn't care about everyone else, but then why did he put her through that? Degrassi stays having them run lines that are about the episode because I guess Craig is rolling in the money because he's willing to pay for a cab across town. Apparently, Manny's audition was for a part on West Drive. Never fear, Ellie is here to talk shit. Craig tells Manny, if you land the part, that's a big deal because West Drive is a very large show.
You like earnest teen melodramas filled with woefully bad writing.
Bitch. But also I was wondering, is Degrassi like talking shit about itself?
That's literally what it sounds like.
Craig says he wishes he could have seen the audition himself because he knows she killed it. And Manny says, oh, I wish I could do it again so I could get this buzz. Guess what? Craig lives for this buzz. Mandy don't even know what impression she is over here giving Craig right now.
He is going to take anything and run with it, too.
He's like, yes, I love the buzz. Mandy shows up to see Craig perform, and she's shocked to walk in on him doing a line of an unknown substance. I believe, again, we find out it's cocaine, but at this point, who knows? It could be flour. Or I also wrote, it could be heroin, cocaine, or pixie sticks. Fun fact, I don't know if I've talked about this. I went to camp, and the people in my cabin, again, I'm like 12, 13. They got some pixie sticks, and I want to know why they were snorting pixie sticks.
No
they were like,
y'all ever snorted
pixie sticks? And I was like, that's crazy. Actually, no. And they were like, let's do lines of pixie sticks. And I know at least half of the people who were doing lines of pixie sticks at the age of 13 have definitely snorted hardcore drugs. There's no way.
What would possess you to snort a pixie stick?
Because what is it doing for me?
Right. Wow.
That's crazy.
Who got bored and decided to do that? But also, this is just a random tangent. Why were candy cigarettes a thing?
Girl.
Why were they encouraging us with that?
I'm so concerned. I saw a meme today that was like, Coca-Cola, we don't need any extra flavors of Coca-Cola. Just put the cocaine back in and leave us alone. But don't, because I'm not into pixie sticks and I'm not into cocaine. So yeah. Anyway.
Pixie sticks is wild.
All right. So she sees him snorting something, doesn't know if it's pixie sticks, cocaine, heroin, or flour. Craig doesn't even look concerned that she walked in on him doing coke, though. Like, he's like, all right, anyway.
This is me.
Which I hate the fact that you said, like, this is me. And all I could hear was Demi Lovato, interesting connection, being like, this is real. This is me.
He wasn't even trying to hide it at that point. He said, that's absolutely who I am, Miss Ma'am. Okay.
Honestly. So, I do feel like this is how people really be acting, because the way that I be browsing the internet and people act like cocaine is just as normal as breathing, and I be concerned. Like, is it? Not for me. The audience for Craig's concert is basically the entire Degrassi cast. Emma notices that Manny's entire demeanor has changed from a bouncy love bunny to a disgruntled after seeing Craig. Ellie is the first one to gas Craig up after his performance, and Craig stops her to chase after Manny. She watched the entire interaction, restraining herself from choking that bitch out, and kudos to her. Craig then tries to lie and tells Manny that he doesn't do cocaine. But then where did the cocaine come from, Craigery?
He's nuts. He's also like, because from the beginning of the episode, you could tell that him and Manny haven't been like communicating that often, because she mentions how like he's not, like, they don't speak or something like that, jokingly. And then when he gets off stage, the first thing he says to Ellie is like, oh, like, you recognize this from our previous conversation. Like,
girl, you're trifling.
Why are you communicating with Ellie and not Manny? That's crazy.
That man. We need to abolish him after this episode. I don't know how people see this entire series and still ride for that man. Because if you rode for him after season two, cool. Maybe even after season three, after just a cheating scandal. After season four, okay, he was a little sick. But after this, what are we doing, y'all? What are we, after Manny, Ellie, stringing Ellie along. The stuff he does to Ellie in this episode, I don't care how dumb Ellie is, he is foul.
Trash.
Anyway, back to the show. Manny didn't get the West Drive audition. She also laments that Craig has changed. He's too sure of himself, and he is absolutely the issue. Not groupies or not Ellie. I guess she's telling Emma about all of this. Emma advises Manny, just accept Craig with his flaws. But if only Emma knew. The next day, Manny approaches Craig to have a conversation regarding his drug use. I love it because she clearly feels gross even talking about it, and she refuses to even call it for what it is. But part of me feels like they do this to demonize cocaine the way they do like all drugs on the show. They always demonize weed.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
But also, I'm not like y'all. Cocaine is still wild. So every day on Al Gore's internet, y'all try to normalize it, and dare worked on me. So I'm still convinced. Anyway, I understand that's not true. Dare is a lie. But at the same time, Manny asks Craig, why do you use cocaine? And she tells him it bothers her, even though she originally told him that it didn't. He argues the cocaine gives him a boost of energy, and he must have told Anya about this for a few seasons down the road. Because actually, I'm trying to figure out if Anya ever meets Craig. I don't think they were in the same episode. Because I know he comes back and he's in an episode with Maya. Possible. Mm. Anyway, Craig tells Manning that he's only used cocaine twice. A lie. Because if you know anything about people who use drugs, you would readily identify that that was a lie.
But and Manny's that's surprising. 70. Oh, never mind. This is Manny, not Ellie. Sorry. I was going to say, that's surprising for Ellie. But she is stupid. So never mind.
Oh, God. Because that's going to come up.
Right.
So Manny is 17 and Craig is her first love. So unfortunately, she's like, oh, well, it's only been twice. Lie. Craig invites Manny to Ellie's dinner after party that evening. And Manny complains that Ellie makes her feel dumb to be around. Now, this is what you texted me about, because Craig does a piss poor job at validating Manny's feelings. Because why does he tell her that she's smart, just not book smart?
Excuse me?
I was so upset.
Why would you say that? Like, that's not reassuring at all.
The absolute disrespect. And also, I feel like I vaguely remember Manny being good at school. So this feels wrong, and I hate him.
Yeah, like, what the... Like, what are they even talking about? And I maybe they're trying to build that or create a wall or, like, that distance because they're, what, a grade difference or two? Like, please.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. I mean, I guess I do remember that scene with Ashley where Manny's like, does GM mean good?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even that didn't make any sense because I said, not the way she's best friends with Emma. There's no way. Y'all just make her look stupid for the purpose of a plot. And I want you to stop doing my girl like that. She's not dumb.
Just because she's on Spirit Squad, they're trying to play that up for sure.
And honestly, she clocked Craig for what he was before Ellie did. So we talking about Manny's not as dumb or Manny's dumber than Ellie. But Manny figured that out real quick. And right. Ellie was still sitting there with like a sad ass little redheaded puppy dog.
Book smart where? It's all about street right. smart at that point.
All right, so they go to that party. I hate Craig. The college kids are sitting around the table having an intellectual conversation, which is entirely unrealistic. I don't know about you. I've been to college. Is that what you and your friends talked about?
No.
Ugh, Kant. I just, you know, that's such a Kantism. No. I don't even boring. Know what those people say. I mean, and I was there, and I took the like philosophy classes and everything. I think I took three of them. I honestly can't remember. It was so long ago, but I know I didn't talk about it.
Right, for funsies.
Losers. Anyway, they're just trying to really demonstrate Manny's insecurities. She clearly feels uncomfortable and Craig tries to pull her into their conversation, but it only further isolates her. It results in Manny calling Ellie out for being constantly rejected by guys. If it weren't for Ellie always taking digs at Manny, I would be on Ellie's side with this one. But just earlier in this episode, she went for Manny for no reason.
Right.
Ellie retorts about Manny's boobs being shown online and the whole table chokes on their food. It was actually really laughable.
Tea.
Manny storms away from the table and Craig should have told that little girl to shut the F up, but... Then Manny's talking about how she's insecure over Ellie. She complains to Craig that Ellie is smarter than her and funnier than her, which makes Manny feel small and insignificant. And it's crazy because Ellie is clearly jealous of Manny. And I don't think either one has anything to be jealous of because they're both great.
Yeah.
If it weren't for Craig. But then I want to add, Manny didn't start it. She continued it. But that's not what Craig says. He's like, first of all, you started it. And second of all, he's like, your insecurities are not attractive, as if it's not his fault.
The nerve.
Do something about it. He just called her stupid.
Right.
You just called her stupid. You're always talking to Ellie. Manny asked for a little confidence boost so she could be sure of herself, too. And Craig does not pick up what she's throwing down. So Manny's like, let me pull this very large bag of white substance out of your pocket.
Probably where's the drugs?
And they sneak upstairs. And when they return, Manny will not stop talking. She is very jittery. They're all over each other. They are laughing excessively and completely unaware of the energy in the room. And the next morning, Manny runs out of the house and Ellie enters Craig's room without asking permission. There's a whole mirror on the table next to his bed that Ellie misses, but she can't miss the bag of cocaine next to the door. I don't know why I'm playing. I have no idea what cocaine looks like, because at first I was like baking powder and then it was cocaine. Either way. I have no idea. I don't know. Y'all already know. Whatever.
We could keep it that way. It's about Craig.
Ellie asks Craig about the cocaine, and this man does what he does best. He lies. And he blames it on Manny, and the episode ends. This episode was cracking.
That is so nutty. Not you over here, like, so willing to throw Manny under the bus. That's insane.
It makes sense. It makes sense in that, you know, full-blown addiction, apparently.
Yeah.
I feel like I asked somebody. I've tried to watch this episode with someone who has more knowledge than me, and I don't think I got a good feel whether or not their behavior in this episode was genuine, like whether it was a good performance. Maybe. I'll have to come back to it and let you guys know.
Yeah. I had the same question, but wouldn't know, just the fact that Manny came back the way she did so quickly. Like, that was her.
I know. I've been over here demonizing cocaine just like Degrassi does. You're over there with the whole ass knowledge. Like, I just did a bump 2 minutes ago, girl.
I don't know how realistic it is. I wouldn't know. Don't want to know. But I was just like, wow, that seems pretty fast. And I don't know. Sometimes stuff takes a while. So
based off my knowledge, it occurs quickly, but it also goes quickly as well. That's like, that would make sense. That one lasts longer. I would not recommend either, though. I am not endorsing. That is not an advertisement. I know we're between episodes and we use the advertisements at this time. This is not that.
Sometimes you just got to reflect. And, like, I'm reflecting right now on the fact that this is a shit we talk about and we don't have sponsors. So
if you want us to get some, we probably shouldn't be talking about doing drugs as much. And tell a friend to tell a friend. And on to the next episode, unless you had any questions or comments about the last one.
No, it only gets better from here.
All right. So Danny, Derek, and Toby are walking when they find some kids from Lakehurst. The boys tell the Degrassi boys that they're declaring war on Degrassi, and they're going to stomp JT. Toby, Derek, and Danny tell JT that the burrito he's enjoying is going to be his last, and he's probably right. Oh, damn.
That's nutty.
I'm confused as to how Nick is Mia's ex, but also Isabella's dad is not Nick. They tell JT that Lakehurst is going to kill JT, and it comes out that this is an issue over JT dating Mia. JT goes to Lakehurst to resolve the conflict, but when Nick calls Mia a dumb slut, JT tells them to meet him in the tunnel the next day. Jimmy approaches JT about the Lakehurst battle, and Danny and Derek are appetizing.
Sure. I'll roll over their feet with my chair. No, I'm not in. Yeah, me neither, because this is a seriously bad idea.
He's not in. Also, just want to throw in there that if Spinner says it's a bad idea, then it's definitely a bad idea.
Yeah, because when the hell is he, you know what I mean? Like, his morals and stuff been off all the time, but
here we are.
Right.
Toby also isn't interested in joining the battle, and JT's bitch ass calls Toby a coward. Fuck you, JT. Mia tells JT that he's being a dumbass, and they decide to leave. But unfortunately, Lakehurst finds Toby alone at Degrassi, and they kick his ass. JT's bullshit got Toby's ass beat.
For no reason.
JT apologizes to Toby for his injuries, but JT says that Lakehurst is going to pay for what they did to Toby. JT promises to let this go at Toby's wishes. But he looks like a liar, in my opinion. But y'all know I don't care about JT, so we're moving on. Anything else about that one?
No. Boring. That's so bad considering what the next episode is going to be. But like, it's
just so dumb. What are we even beefing over? Why are we doing school brawls? You know what I mean? I have no idea. It makes no sense. Y'all just pulled this out of your ass.
Just to make the next episode a one part. Like, this is right. Nutty.
Girl, because why is that one part?
And why is this too? Like, I get Craig's back in town, but you could have just had that be A or B of the next one. Like, they don't care. So, in return, I don't care.
Well, you know, they couldn't kill off people. and experience drugs in the same episode. They
That's
gotta,
true.
You know, they got to be a palate cleanser. So, Ellie tells Jesse about the cocaine she found in Craig's room, and he's completely unsurprised. He even remarks as much. Ellie is like, no, they were totally manis. But Jesse, the wise elder that he is, this man looks 40, tells her that, no, you're a dumb bitch. And I'm pretty sure they are both using. Stupid ass Ellie, though.
What I do know is that I have to keep him away from Manny. Long enough to make him realize that she's a toxic influence.
How do you say that with a straight face to someone you're dating?
I want her to not be this dumb.
She's so stupid. Like, literally is so willing to die on the Craig's not doing drugs hill.
Girl.
For what? He's
Girl.
Not worried about you.
Jesse changes the subject because he's like, I'm not going to do this. I don't have the energy. And nor do I. He's like, I assigned you the role for Taking Back Sunday interview. And in steps Craig in his sunglasses. But I guess that's a universal sign for someone who does cocaine. I don't know. I feel like it was. That was their intent. Look, he's a rock star now. He wears his sunglasses inside because he's so high. Craig showed up on time for his interview with Ellie, but then he tells her, I can't do the interview because I have to help Joey clean out the garage. I want to know why you showed up to the interview instead of calling, but...
Right, but what the hell do we know?
It gives the opportunity for Ellie to eagerly jump to go with Craig to Joey's garage. And Jesse's like, but isn't that going to mess up your interview? But Ellie's like, I don't care. I'm more worried about this man who doesn't like me than I am about an actual decent job. Ellie's interviewing Craig in Joey's garage, and it comes up that nobody was waiting for Craig upon his return from touring. Not Manny at the airport. Joey's moving to Calgary and selling the home that I didn't know that he owned because I was pretty sure that Caitlin bought it. Broke ass. Ellie tells Craig that she's waiting for him, and she is, but they're interrupted by a text from Jesse about the arrival of Taking Back Sunday. Ellie's like, come on, Craig, come to the interview, because she is intentionally trying to babysit this man so he can't go do cocaine with Manny, who is in school, but what do I know?
Right, where was he going?
Ellie is late to an interview with Taking the Famous Band over Craig. Ellie insists that Craig meets the band and tries to stop him from going to meet up with Manny. Jesse tries to move them in the right direction, but Craig steals the show and Ellie's time for the interview that she wasn't prepared for anyway. They ran out of time on the interview and Jesse's clearly unhappy, but lucky Craig, he gets to open up for Taking Back Sunday. He tells Ellie that they need to go tell Manny, or he needs to go tell Manny, and he refuses to allow Ellie to hold him. Ellie apologizes to Jesse about messing up her interview with both Taking Back Sunday and Craig. She tells Jesse that Craig left her to go hang out with Little Miss Manny, and Jesse remarks that Craig was probably jonesing for coke. Ellie is not pleased to hear him say this, but Jesse tells her dumbass that he knows what a cocaine addict looks like because his best friend used to be an addict. And Ellie tells Jesse that he's just jealous and you can't see Craig clearly. And Jesse lays this girl on the table when he tells her,
I'm not jealous of some failed singer-songwriter loser that you're still crushing on. It's pathetic.
That is wrong on so many levels.
Now, you know what's really wrong? The fact that Craig keeps crapping on you and you keep going back for more.
Why does he know this already and he's only known Ellie for like 2 days? This is nuts.
Girl, he clocked her way too early. And you know what? I know I started out hating on Jesse, but in this moment, he said what exactly needed to be said.
Absolutely. No lies were told.
Manny and Craig are making out and Manny proposes that they go out that evening to see a movie, but Craig is like, I'd rather stay in and do cocaine. And he whips the cocaine out. I want to know how Craig is afforded the cocaine, because if Jesse calls Craig a failed songwriter singer, does this mean that his music career is not doing so well?
Right.
Anyway, Manny tells Craig that she felt gross after doing the cocaine and that she won't like to do it again, but Craig says it's awesome that she's not interested. Probably because this means more for him. But he's still revving up to ski the slopes, as I'm told I say.
Oh, no.
I know you hate me. No one probably says this. Manny is like, are you serious? And he says, Manny, this has been like the best 1 or 2 days of my life. I don't know why.
Simple man, I guess.
He's like, don't ruin it for me. And Manny realizes that this is real, she realizes real quick much quicker than Ellie, as I said earlier. She's like, oh no, oh no, no.
I'm dumping your ass, Craig. Bye.
Manny leaves Craig to do the lines of cocaine that he's been jonesing for all day. She runs into Ellie on her way out, and she tells Ellie about Craig's drug problem. But then Ellie, still ain't trying to hear the facts, she goes,
I found your loot bag, and I know the coke is yours. Craig told me.
Craig told me. Manny tells her Craig is a liar, like drug addicts are. And good luck, girl. Ellie storms into Craig's room to confront him, and she talks him into admitting that he has a problem with cocaine. This is where I stop remembering how this episode went. So she invites him to go with her to their group therapy, and he agrees, but only if she promises to stop being angry with him.
Girl, manipulation 101. Hello? Right.
And so as me, I've watched every single episode of Intervention. I wonder if that show still comes on. I need to Google that. Anyway, you can predict how this episode went if you know anything about addicts. Craig does not go into group therapy, who I admit, addicts are sick people, but they need therapy and treatment. So I probably have gone about this episode very callously. I'm not denying it. Craig is sick. He needs help. Anyway, so he goes to the appointment. He was late. And then he doesn't go in. You know, you gotta want it.
Right. I didn't remember if he actually showed up. Like, when they closed the door, I was like, girl, of course he didn't show up. And then I saw him show up, and I was like, that was a half-hearted attempt anyway.
You know, as I learned from the movie 13, it works if you work it. And Craig was not ready to work it. No. That's okay. But that's not okay for Ellie, who is Captain Save-A-Ho. Oh, trying to be on her Darcy Edwards shit.
Girl.
It's time for the Taking Back Sunday performance, and I took it upon myself to look up the lyrics of the song to see if the writers added any Easter eggs with a double meaning. Because, like, I feel like they tend to choose plays and storylines and songs that relate to the storyline in the episode, but this one is called Make Damn Sure, and it sounded like it was just about someone who's desperate to get closer to someone, but that person has their walls up and won't let the other person in. So I was like, maybe that's how Ellie feels about Craig, but it also kind of feels like reading astrology and then I'm just digging into nothing. So
it's funny too, because I don't know what Taking Back Sunday had to do with this episode. Like, I don't know if it was like a sponsorship, a collaboration or something, because on the Degrassi wiki, they talk about how this episode had a different title name, but then they changed the name to Taking Back Sunday song. So I don't know what they had to do with this or why they were tied in. Must have been some promo or something like that, because they changed everything to like Taking Back Sunday songs and like lyrics.
Interesting. I wonder. So Ellie goes backstage and she finds Craig's cocaine, and she threatens to contact Joey unless Craig agrees to quit doing cocaine. She tells Craig that she can't leave him and his cocaine problem alone, and then he kisses her. I went recorded this because of the quote that I'm going to include in a second, and I got all of the kissing noises, and I said, I'm not going to do that to y'all. Because tell me why this man is like,
I love you, Ellie.
I love you too.
So don't make me stop. Please.
He's like, wow.
It's the kissing noises for me. But at last, Ellie realizes that Craig is a manipulative piece of shit. And even if this isn't who he is without drugs, which it is, it was. That was how he was without drugs. But this is definitely who he is in active addiction. And that's a disclaimer again, just throwing it in there. People who use drugs habitually are not bad people, but drugs make people do bad things. And while Craig's behavior under the influence isn't spot on, his manipulation is.
You'll say whatever it takes to get your hands on this, won't you?
There go those tricky little writers throwing whatever it takes into a line.
I love when they do that.
Right? Yeah, you see? Ellie storms out and Craig rushes back to the slopes. I hate myself for this. He's ready and amped for his brief set with Taking Back Sunday. They have Craig out there looking super sloppy like an addict right now, and it feels like an escalation.
I fly too close to the sun. I chase the whale on the run. But I am,
I'm jumping from mountains and I'm jumping from skies. I try to realize my size. What you say when you're me? What you feel when you see?
In the middle of Craig's song, he gets a pretty intense bloody nose, which apparently is indicative of cocaine use. I think it's like the stereotype. If you get bloody noses, you must be doing some type of, I don't know, inhaling, snorting substances.
Yeah.
It's really embarrassing for him, and I just don't think this feels realistic because plenty of musicians use cocaine, and I have never seen this happen to anyone on stage.
I think what's more embarrassing is that it took him so long to realize his nose was bleeding. Like,
girl,
you... Am I the only one?
Well, you know what? What's his face said he can't feel his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I guess it probably, I am assuming it's probably a different nosebleed if you're playing around with your nose often. I'm just someone that gets frequent nosebleeds, and I can always tell when I'm about to get a nosebleed.
Well, so what I was told by my cocaine researcher is that actually you typically have more so a dry, crusty, red, bloody nose the following morning after cocaine use.
Interesting.
So it's not, you're not getting bloody noses in the moment like that. Oh, that was dramatic. So while okay. I know that we associate bloody noses with whatever snorting substances such as cocaine, that's just apparently not how it happens. If I do
that's
have a listener who has some counter research, so you want to add to the table based off the research I did using Reddit and other sources, that's just not what happens. It's not. And apparently sometimes your nose collapses too. What happened to that bitch off TikTok with the collapsed nose?
Why does that sound familiar?
You ain't seen that bitch?
No, I don't think so.
I hope she's doing okay.
Definitely heard this before though. Oof.
Anyway. So he gets a bloody nose. I don't think that's realistic because again, everybody's on cocaine and I've never seen anyone get a random bloody nose like that. So clearly this is just not an accurate representation, but whatever. We know what that means. And apparently everyone in the crowd knows what it means. So Ellie called Joey because Mr. Simpson shows up to the airport to make that Craig gets on the plane to see Joey in Calgary. But I don't understand why Ellie's there right now.
She cannot let it go.
He's like, I guess you're here to make sure I get on the plane. And she's like, no, that's why Mr. Simpson's here. Then why are you here?
Girl.
Craig tries to tell Ellie that he's loved her for a long time, and Ellie tells Craig to leave her alone because he needs help. He says he's going to rehab, and perhaps then he gets out, but we'll never find out because she walks away and the episode closes. I wish I could say this is the last time Ellie pines after Craig, but it's not, and we'll get there when we get there. The moral of the episode is, I make too much money to ever smoke crack. Crack is whack.
I'm screaming.
Do you have a better moral than me?
No, that's actually iconic. But mine was that minding your business is always the answer. And it will get you further. So.
Yes. I mean, everyone always talks about, I think there's a lot of detaching with love, focusing on yourself, the things that you can change. You cannot change what other people do. So all of what Ellie's doing is, I think, a natural emotional response at based off of 22 seasons of me watching Intervention. Like, you're just like, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You should just think better and do better. And so from Ellie's perspective, she has to play Captain Save-A-Ho. But again, 22 seasons of Intervention, this strategy has never worked with any of the families. Also, interventions apparently don't work either. But I think you're supposed to like surround them with support or something, but like boundaries. So like boundary support. I don't really know. I'm not an expert, so don't listen to me.
Right. Do not get your advice here, but.
But you will see that it did not work from Ellie what she was doing per this episode. So mind your business because it's free 99.
Yeah. And JT and all them could have minded their business. And it would have saved someone's life in the future. So,
a bunch of people who should have minded their business in this episode who didn't.
And we'll see what happens when that Well, you don't mind your business.
Damn, we got two triggering episodes in a row, huh?
They're back at it with this one.
Well, do we miss any of your comments? Let's see what you got here.
No, I think I literally said everything that's on that paper or on my notes.
Liberty got her own agenda. You did. You did say everything there. Clearly, he was on drugs. He was clearly on drugs.
I think I talked some more shit about Ellie, but that was like to be expected.
Because she was so embarrassing. And you said she's not a girl's girl at all. You also called her Captain Save-A-Ho.
Yes. Like through and through. Because I know we referred to Darcy as that. We probably have referred to freaking Ellie as that too, to be honest.
But Darcy actually did save these men.
Yeah.
Who has Ellie saved?
She'd just be digging a deeper hole. It's ridiculous.
She wanted to be Darcy so bad, and she just can't be.
That's crazy. And we see Ashley for like a second in this episode, but we still got homegirl going after Craig. Like Ashley didn't date him.
It's so pathetic. And I'm so glad Jesse calls her on that. I actually can't stand them.
Yeah. But it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
All right, friends. Next on Degrassi, Manny decides to throw a party at the Nelson's house while Spike and Snake are out of town and uses Liberty's birthday as an excuse. But when the word gets out, the night quickly spirals out of control. I'd be so mad if I were Spike and Snake. I can't even go away for a weekend without coming back to death. Leading to a tragedy that the students of Degrassi will never forget. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airways this time next week, whatever it takes. Maybe. Will we?
No.
We will not be back on your airways this time next week because Terry is traveling to turn up for her birthday. But maybe in 2 weeks.
Yes. We'll be back eventually. For sure. We'll be back.
So I lied. We'll be back eventually in 2 weeks or so. Bye.